As we share in the Lord's Supper four times quarterly a year, we always do so for those who are guests today. This is not just for our church. This is for you as well, those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, and we share in that today as believers in Jesus Christ. So today we share in the Lord's Supper, and that's what the message is all about today. The message is not just to have a message and then fit in the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's Supper today. So we're going to talk about some things that Jesus went through, and about how he gave thanks. And we get to read a lot about the prayer life of Jesus Christ. We get to read a lot about how he got up early in the morning and would get in a secluded area and spend time by himself in prayer. No distractions, just a time between him and his Father to pray. And we have the privilege to even read the prayers that Jesus Christ offered. We also, in certain circumstances and situations in his life, we also get to read about the life of praise that Jesus Christ gave. How we read two phrase word, give thanks. Give thanks. And what a phrase. A small phrase, giving thanks, but yet so easily forgotten in times of situations and times of challenges. Give thanks. The last several times we've done the Lord's Supper, we did it in silence. We've done it in remembrance. We've done it in celebration. We've done it in anticipation. And today we do it in gratefulness to give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would say think about a circumstance in your life that prompts you to give thanks. Many times in our lives, and I hope every day, we as believers or we even as families will gather around the table and we'll bless the food. We bless the food, and that's giving thanks for the provisions that God has provided us as a family. And perhaps as we look ahead to Thanksgiving, perhaps we share in that. Perhaps you guys have a tradition around the table where each of you say what you're thankful for during that time. My mother-in-law used to have us do that, and it's like, oh, I'm so nervous to share. But it was giving thanks during that time, and this is the week that we always would do it. But maybe perhaps for some of us, it's giving thanks because we're part of a miracle, and we're part of God's plan. And perhaps that's when we give thanks. Today we're going to see where Jesus gives thanks in three different places in Scripture. Not the only places he gives thanks, but he gives thanks during his earthly ministry. He gives thanks during his last night with his disciples, and he gives thanks after his resurrection. Jesus gives thanks when he blessed the multitude. When he took five loaves and two fish, he gave thanks. When he shared the Last Supper in the upper room, he gave thanks. When he met the two disciples on the way to Emmaus and they ended up sharing a meal together, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks during that time. So we're going to look at three ways that we give thanks. The first way is giving thanks with your circumstance. Giving thanks with your circumstance. In John 6, we read about the event, and I don't want to say story because stories sometimes aren't true. We read the event. These are events in the Bible where Jesus fed 5,000. He fed 5,000 families. You know, we count the men. So 15,000 plus were fed with five loaves and two fish. But have you ever really thought about what prompted that miracle? What prompted the miracle of Jesus feeding so many people? What was it that he just wanted to provide a meal for thousands and thousands of people? Was it because he wanted to portray or display his divinity? Or was it that he wanted to honor a little boy that gave his lunch up for thousands and thousands of people? I think all of those are valid reasons why Jesus stopped and gave thanks. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. But if you read further into verse 23, it doesn't give reference to that miracle. In verse 23, we read, there came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where what? They had ate the bread and where he had given thanks. The reference to a miracle was not even mentioned. The framework of one little phrase here in Scripture simply described the place where they ate and where Jesus had given thanks. Not a description of the miracle, but a place where gratefulness was rendered. And I think it's because the event was not merely about a miraculous provision. It was a place where Jesus humbly acknowledged the giver, where Jesus Christ humbly acknowledged the provider. Thankfulness ahead of time set God up to bless them in abundant ways. Why? Because God multiplies our gratefulness. God multiplies our thankfulness. When you choose to thank God for what you've been given, it takes the focus off of you and puts it onto the one who provided it for you. It was gratefulness that preceded the unlocking of that miracle. It was thankfulness that preceded the miracle to be seen. But it shows God just won't bring a miracle. He's going to multiply that miracle. When you worship him with praise and gratitude, even in the most difficult times that you walk, it sets God up to do abundantly more than you can ever imagine. It's giving thanks with the circumstances that we're in, just like Jesus did when he fed the multitude. And then we see a situation where Jesus gives thanks in his circumstance, and where we are to give thanks, or you are to give thanks in your circumstance. In Luke, look at Luke verse 22, or chapter 22. Deacons, if you don't mind, you can make your way on up to the side there and stand as I just give reference to this time of circumstance. In Luke 22, we know that Jesus was in the upper room on that last evening with those friends that he held dear, with those friends that he called close to him. But before giving the bread and the cup, Jesus Christ gave thanks. Let me read that. Verse 17, chapter 22 of Luke. Let me just read 14 on. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He would soon be on a cross, just a few hours from there. Enemies and those that he called friend were about to abandon him. They were plotting his death. Gethsemane and Golgotha lie ahead. He took a bread, and he took the cup, and he gave thanks. And it was more than just giving thanks for food and drink. The bread represented his body, the cup his blood that was to be shed. Jesus gave thanks with the confidence that God's plan was being fulfilled, was being revealed. It gives incredible meaning to Paul's encouragement to his letter to the church in Thessalonica, that we give thanks in everything. We give thanks in all things, for it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What an example that our Lord and Savior set for us. Every time we take of the bread, every time we drink of the cup, we are giving thanks to what the Lord did for us. He gave thanks knowing his hour had finally come. Anticipation of his sacrifice, his mission was moving forward. Knowing this, he gave thanks. We have an even greater reason to give thanks because this is the gospel presentation. It's our salvation. With the blood of Christ, we have been set free. Amen? So we're going to share in the Lord's Supper today, and then I will finish with our last point. Men, can you come forward, please?